Welcome to the Kumbaya Podcast, where Amanda and Rebecca, twin sisters, naturally minded home birth mamas, and co-founders of Progressive Pregnancy. We're on a mission to help you have a more empowered entrance into motherhood. We'll bring awareness and offer support surrounding pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum journey. As a holistic pelvic floor physical therapist, I'll bring valuable insights and guidance during this critical time for your pelvic floor. We'll also bring on other holistic providers, experts, and guests to help you make this huge life transition easier. To learn more, head over to progressivepregnancy.com, or to see show notes and past episodes, visit kumbayalpodcast.com. Are you hoping to have a home birth or natural birth? If so, check out Progressive Pregnancy. It's our comprehensive online program with monthly coaching calls that'll help you prepare your body, mind, and home for childbirth. All three of our children were born at home, and what we teach helped me go from a 30-hour labor with my first child to a 5-hour and much smoother labor with my second child. In my pelvic physical therapy practice, I've helped hundreds of women have smoother childbirths, no matter where they gave birth, and I'd love to share this knowledge with you. To learn more and get access, go to progressivepregnancy.com. Our guests today are Martina Stelmisic and Juliana Kaspari. They are the founders of Mesh Moms, a mother's club that supports families in the Atlanta area throughout the wonderful and wonderfully challenging years of early childhood. Martina and Juliana are longtime friends and have been sharing their ups and downs as they raise their combined 7 children. Over the years, they realized that despite their friendship, they were missing a greater community and often felt isolated and very alone. Recently, they founded Mesh Moms to offer new moms what they most wanted in those early days, a network of support to catch you when you fall, and the shared experiences that create friendships which hopefully last a lifetime. Martina and Juliana have both been working moms, full-time moms, pro bono working moms, and are now moms establishing the Mesh Moms community. In addition to their love of family, they share passions for global travel, languages, and the outdoors, especially skiing. Martina has a bachelor's degree in international business and earned her MBA from Emory University. She worked for over a decade in global trade and development, most recently as president and CEO of an international nonprofit. Her 4 children range from ages 1 through 9. Juliana holds a master's degree in industrial engineering and management and has dedicated her career to business consulting, most recently as the head of strategy at an international insurance company. She has 3 children, ages 4 to 7.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Martina and Juliana. We're so excited to talk with you today because we know how isolating motherhood can be, and it's just not something that is talked about, especially as you're preparing for baby. And when Amanda and I learned about the community that you're building with Mesh Moms, we knew we wanted to talk with you about this topic and to share it on the podcast.
Excellent. Yeah, so I think we'd just like to dive right in and let's talk about, you know, isolation in motherhood and how does that show up and what do you mean by that when we're thinking about isolation?
I think it's really this feeling of being overwhelmed. You know, I mean, also for me, in the meantime, I have 4 children, but I still remember the time when my first one was born. So at the time I was CEO of an international non-for-profit in Atlanta. And, you know, I really knew what I was doing in my job, and it was, you know, I was busy and always traveling, and suddenly I was by myself at home with a newborn. My family lives overseas, so I did not have family. And my husband, I think, I don't think he was even home. I mean, he stayed home for a couple of days, like during the hospital and all that, but then he went right back to work. So there was, you know, and suddenly I just remember. And then he even had to go on a business trip. I'm like, what do I do? It's just awful. And so And of course I have friends, right? But this is probably also what we mean with this isolation, that it really depends also so much what stage of life your friends are in. So certainly I had friends that already had children, but if they are not in that newborn phase, you forget. I mean, I think it's probably also what your body, you know, kind of maybe helps you forget. But it's just different. You know, if you, even if you already have a 1-year-old, it's so different than a 1-week-old. So either I had friends that already had kids that were way older, or I had friends that didn't have kids at all. And then you don't understand that, you know, phase at all. So really, I only had one friend who was in the exact same phase, because I met her in this prenatal yoga class. She even like coincidentally lived super close by, and she gave birth, I think, a week before me. So she was my little, you know, friend that I then had. And we really, I mean, we could text at 2 a.m. We could, because we were both up breastfeeding. But still, you know, even with her, it was just isolating. You know, you're just by yourself, going outside feels stressful. So this was a little bit my experience. I don't know, Juliana, what do you want to add?
Yeah, I may add, with my firstborn, I did have a little bigger circle of mom friends that also had their babies. But in that phase, even though I had my friends, it felt a little isolated. I think I isolated myself from my former me. So it's got those different levels of isolation. You're physically isolated, but then you're also trying to identify your new role, your maternal identity. Like Martina, I was an working mom, I had a great career, and then all of a sudden you are home with this baby. Then you have all sorts of feelings. Do I want to go back to work? Do I just want to stay and care for the baby? And you start thinking about all the values that you had. I mean, everybody has their ideal image of being a mom and how it all works out, and then maybe some things don't work out the way that you pictured them to be. And especially today, you have all the social media images that come, or just that you see every day on your screen. And then you think, oh, this is not how it works for me. And yeah, that was kind of a challenge for me, especially with my first child.
Absolutely. I feel like what you're both are saying, or what we experienced as well, it's not just the physical isolation. You know, you're up at night and the rest of your family is not awake, or you don't have other family. It's your first child and you're up with your first child and your partner is getting some sleep. And you're like, okay, I'm physically isolated, or I'm not going back to work right now. I'm at home. But it's that mental isolation. And I love what you said, Martina, about, yeah, I knew what I was doing in my day. Like, I rocked it. I had this career on, then all of a sudden you're in this totally new career and you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing, and I'm sleep deprived. And then you have the emotional disconnection with people around you, but there's that stress of all the newness. And I absolutely resonated with what you said, Juliana, too, about the identity. I mean, I was not prepared for how much change I would make as a person becoming a parent, right? I mean, I don't know. I absolutely changed with how much I wanted to spend with old friends that I had that were on the same page, and just the growth into all the crunchy stuff, you know, and when your mind opens up, you're like, everything I'm putting on my body is going into this breast milk, and, you know, just things that you didn't even perceive that you would care about before you were in it. Right. And so that, I think.
Well, and the identity, Juliana, I really resonated with that as well, with the, you had this identity, you were both, you know, very successful working moms, and then you have children, and it's like you said, your values, like where you want to put your time and attention and your effort during the day really changes. And it's the identity shift and kind of what you think motherhood is going to look like before, and you as a parent, and then what it looks like afterwards. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that. I know in your bio, we talked about how you guys, you have changed your roles, and how do you see you redefining motherhood? Has that helped with your isolation? How did that kind of impact or fit in with that picture?
I think it's an ever evolving topic, at least for me. I'm still in it. But I do feel more confident now after having had a kid for 8 years. But I think I've just found out for myself, you can't do it all. You cannot listen to all the, you can listen to all the advice that you get. You can read everything, but then you have to define for yourself what is a good way. I'm the kind of person that likes to talk to a lot of people. I like to have a network around me, have people around me. And then I try to get out people's advice and then I make up my own mind. I think everyone is different in this. I know people that never meet up with anyone and they're fine with themselves. But I really try to always go out and talk to other moms and see what their experience is with a certain challenge that I was facing. And then I try to make up my own mind about how to handle situations. But I'm still in that. I feel like I'm still in the phase. I'm still ever evolving and thinking about how do I put my time where? For which child, for my job, for my partner, everything, for my friends, myself.
I think that's, I also thought, I think in my, my 20s, I had my life kind of planned out in my mind. And it's completely different today what I thought it would be. I never thought I would have 4 children. I mean, even friends, from high school, they're like, really, you have 4 children? That's really surprising. So, because I'm an only child too, so it's not that I come from this huge, big family. And I never, because for a while I was a stay-at-home mom and I never pictured myself as a stay-at-home mom. Never, never, never. Even like when I met my husband, I'm like, I will never stay home. I'm a career woman. I will always go back to work. And then, life changes and it changes you and situations happen. So I feel it's just, also be adaptive to whatever life throws you. And then you can make a change again, which is also okay. So it's, but also going from, we're maybe shifting a little bit from that isolation topic, but it's, even like then becoming a stay-at-home mom, that also took a while again, from being a working mom. And for me, it wasn't working at the end anymore because I had no time for myself. And I was like, I'm empty. I just couldn't do it anymore. I had work and husband and 2 kids and traveling and it was no more time for myself. I cannot do it anymore. I need some time. But then it took a few months too to readjust, even then the partnership is different. If you're sending me home, what's okay that you're doing worse? Are you now doing everything suddenly at home because now you are home? I'm like, no, still it's a relationship and a partnership and with the money and how do you do that? It's a lot, So yeah, but it always, I don't know, yeah. Things change, life changes. So
the change, the change also is isolating because it's like you're still figuring it out. And like, how can you connect with other people sometimes when it's like you're still, oh my gosh, it's like,
well, even your partner. So this is, I think it's so good that we're having this conversation and getting this out to women because you think you know how you are. And especially we had kids, you were younger than me, but I was 37 when I had my first child. You feel like you're cooked, like I'm done. I know what I'm doing. I'm a fully formed human being, right? And I was with my partner, with my husband, and I was a career. Like I never, as a little kid, was that person that dreamed about having kids one day. I knew I wanted a family in the back of my mind, but kind of more like you, Martina, I don't think that, I don't know. It'll happen. And then you had that first baby and I was so burnt out at work. I literally turned to my husband and I said, okay, I'm not going back. Like, I don't want to do anything besides care for this child. I want to, and you don't know until you're in it. And I remember thinking, and I told him, I said, I'm not a Susie homemaker, by the way. So I told him, I'm like, I'm going to learn how to cook and I'm just going to like have meals waiting for you. And I was like, super domestic goddess. And he's like, well, I like to cook too. I'm like, yes, you can cook on the weekend. That's fine. And like, I mean, I literally still have like probably never cooked a meal. He was nervous for like a second. And by, 6 months in, then I said, okay, I miss work, you know, but finding that balance of where, and then that's when I went on my own. Cause I was like, I'm not going to work for someone else again. And the way the balance for us was, I definitely went part-time and very slowly built it and definitely totally switched gears, which I would never have predicted ever in a million years. And so I think, you know, helping moms see that you don't even know until you're there. It's one of those things that you have your baby and your whole entire world will change, and just communicating and talking to people. And we'll get into, I'm sure you guys have some good strategies for how to combat the isolation, but just the fact of the change that happens when you have a baby is so profound, and I'm sure varying degrees, but you really truly can't predict it. And I love what you guys are creating to help give women these contacts and these connections and these ways to combat this isolation.
Well, and first step, I think, is like acknowledging, like you said, isolation is a thing in motherhood, like it's really here. So once you acknowledge it and you realize, oh, okay, wait, like this is normal to feel this way. What are some of the strategies, or what are some things that either you did or that you suggest to other new moms, or like when you're talking to new moms to help with isolation?
Yeah. I think the first step, and that also goes with the last point, but also with isolation, have respect for yourself. Don't defend yourself if you feel isolated, or if you do feel like you're living in a new role. You will always have or feel mom guilt, whatever you're doing, if you go back to work or not. But try to respect yourself and accept the isolation that you feel, or all the feelings that you feel. And then obviously there's more to overcome isolation. But Tina, you want to?
Yeah, I think I would say really try and get out of the house. You know, even it feels so daunting, and I totally understand, but you know, you don't have to look perfect. I mean, even today, you know, I'm sorry, and my hair is like not washed, you know, and I'm still doing a podcast, you know, so you don't have to look perfect to go, you know, on a stroller walk with your baby, or just grab some coffee. I feel just like getting out of the house, even if it's cold outside. You know, you can bundle the baby up, and strollers are really, you know, warmth isolating and all that. So it's get outside, accept help. You know, I really think, especially when it's your first, I can tell you when it's the fourth, it's very different. But when it's your first, I mean, people do want to, you know, come see you and see the baby, and they do offer help. And then sometimes it's also this, oh no, I'm super mom, I can do it all, you know, but accept the help, even if it's just, why don't you watch the baby for 15 minutes and I take a shower and I just, you know, I'm not just by myself. Or it's, you know, can you help with the laundry? Can you help unload the dishwasher? You know, it might be, maybe you're also like too proud to ask for these things, but I think it's sometimes also these little things where you can, it makes such an easy, like, it's so easy, you know, everyone can unload a dishwasher pretty much. And then you just have a few minutes to yourself, but also you have a friend maybe come over and you just hang out. If you're like, maybe if going outside is too much in the beginning, and really look for some classes, you know, there are postpartum yoga classes or something, and try and meet other moms. I think it's just like we discussed a little while ago. It's just, once you're a mom, you're different. It is just a fact, I feel. So, and you will also find you will click with some moms and others you won't, and that's also okay. You know, you don't have to get a, just because then we're all suddenly moms, we don't all have to be best friends, but still, you can still grab some coffee, you know, go to yoga class, maybe grab some coffee afterwards, and just, yeah, make some connections, be out there, and accept help. I think that's probably my advice.
And really, yeah, focus on yourself, like Martina is saying. Everyone is, once the baby is out, everyone is just looking at how is the baby, how is it feeling. Everyone comes to check on the baby, but the mom is very often forgotten, and sometimes it's very hard to get the lactation specialist or the pelvic floor therapist. It's a lot of effort to get the help for yourself, but everyone just comes naturally for the baby. So please, yeah, take that time and take the time out for yourself. The baby will be fine if you are feeling fine.
And also probably tune out of like a lot of the social media. And, you know, I think you also mentioned it. Everything always looks perfect. And it's not. it's not yeah. Just because, I don't know, some celebrity or whatever, right? It's like all happy. And I mean, this is not motherhood. So I think sometimes it's better to just don't be up at 2 a.m. I mean, looking at social media, maybe rather, I don't know, watch a show on Netflix if you're up anyway. So it's...
That's a really good idea, because inevitably you're going to find someone who gave birth around the same time that you gave birth. And you're like, oh my God, you don't have a stomach anymore. Or you're in those jeans, or look, your hair is done. You look like you've had a shower this week. Like, you know, it's so hard just to not compare yourself. Absolutely. Do you guys recommend, you listed out some really important things, I think, of honoring yourself, checking in with yourself. This is something I'm teaching my patients every day, nonstop. I am continually struggling with myself, is to make sure that we're checking in with ourselves. We are, as women, I think in general, just used to focusing on everyone else. What does everyone else need? Thinking three steps ahead, but never or not enough checking in with our bodies to say, how am I feeling in this moment? And what do I need in this moment? And so I love what you're saying about, like, oh, having people help with the dishwasher. Do you ever coach people even during pregnancy to maybe make a list and say, and it's hard, you don't know what you don't know, but I was definitely one that had trouble accepting help afterward, and I didn't even perceive it. I was just pissed all the time. And especially with baby number two, because you realize how much mess baby number one does and how little daddy doesn't pick up around the house, you know, just showed how much I was keeping the house picked up. And when I wasn't doing it, I had to look at it, and it just was so surprising to me with my second, how my body, how much I just got irritated with how messy the house was, but I wasn't asking for help. So, you know, looking ahead and saying, okay, if you like your house really neat or clean, making a list of, okay, these are the things we need to have done, and maybe kind of writing a list when they're pregnant to set, you know, other people up for success. When you come over, you can help with these things.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think also, you know, now going back to pregnancy and a list, I think it's also nice to maybe add even to your baby registry some things for yourself. You probably don't need 10 onesies or something, you know, because they outgrow them super quickly anyways, but maybe add a postpartum massage to it, you know, or at, I don't know, some babysitting hours, something, you know, just for yourself and not just for the baby, because the baby will have plenty of things and many things on this registry the baby actually doesn't even need. But yeah,
so. That's great advice. I love that. Yes.
Love it. You know, you're right. It's like the moms are just kind of turned invisible afterwards and everyone forgets. And yeah. That adds to the isolation. You feel unseen almost. Everyone's so focused on the baby and how's the baby doing. And then, you know, for me, it was the gap between what I used to be able to do and get accomplished and what I was doing after the baby came. And so then I put that on myself. I should be able to. We try not to use it in our household anymore, but I was using it when my baby was little, and it's hard, the difference. And
well, I think our society too, really, we have a lot of our identity tied up with what do we do for a living and how much to accomplish in our time, right? And when you're nap stuck, what do they call it? Like you're trapped under a napping baby, or you're breastfeeding, and you're, especially in the beginning, they don't know what they're doing. You don't know what you're doing. So it takes like 45 minutes for a feed, and you know, all of a sudden your whole day, if you're doing 45 minutes, 2 hours, you know, I mean, you just don't have any time to do anything else but keep that baby alive, which is worth it. But it's hard when you're used to getting more accomplished again.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's also really maybe, and it's hard, you know, because I also had these ideals, right? I wanted a natural birth, but in the end, I had a C-section. I also thought, well, I'll breastfeed forever. I think after 3 months, I just didn't have any milk anymore. And I always had to supplement. So it's even, and my husband also didn't get it. You know, I'm like, oh, I just, you know, there is no milk. I'm like, yeah, so what? You know, we just use formula. I'm like, you know, but I had all these emotions bundled up, you know? So it's also, and this is why I sometimes also think it's nice to have other really moms around you that are in the same phase, because sometimes then when you're, you know, online or something and you only see, oh, I'm breastfeeding and it's just so easy and it comes easy to everyone. And why can I not do it? But the more you talk to people, actually, you know, I mean, I think this is one of the topics where most people actually struggle with, and it's just not very talked about. And this also adds sometimes to isolation, because you're thinking, why can't everyone do it? And I'm the only one that struggles with it. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head that we, you know, you can have a lot of friends going into, say, especially with your first baby, and you obviously have your partner who you're close with, hopefully. And then after, it's having those meaningful connections and meaningful, you know, we want to support that, because in meaningful meaning, someone who's in the trenches with you, someone who's in that real time experiencing what you're experiencing, so that way, even if no problem is solved, you have the validity, you have the, you know, the someone amening you to say, oh yes, okay, someone else is going through this, like, I'm not alone. Even if you can't solve my problem, you don't have answers for my questions, the fact that you're here with me and you're experiencing this makes me feel less alone, that it's not just me and my baby and we're doing things okay. And yeah.
Well, and you, Martina, you touched on it too, about the importance of, like, not only just getting out of the house, it sounds like meeting people in person when you can. There's times and opportunities for virtual connections, but talk to us a little bit about the magic and what you've seen with Mesh Moms of, like, the in-person connections and how that can be especially helpful for isolation.
Yeah, I think that is truly magic. Well, we've talked about last year, we talked about setting up this community for women, especially pregnant or women with their firstborn or newborn babies. And we were talking, well, there are enough virtual groups out there. You can be in pretty much 100 groups, virtual Facebook groups, Moms of Bucket, Moms of Atlanta, Moms of Gwinnett, or Moms of the World. But that does not give you that personal connection that actually gets you out of isolation. So we said, okay, let's do something very simple. Let's organize stroller walks and coffee meetups and lunch meetings with the babies or with the kiddos, but just to get the moms out of the house and get them together and talk. And that's what we did. That's how we started Mesh Moms last summer. And we still do it. In fact, just this morning, I got some pictures of some of our moms walking through Piedmont Park in Atlanta and just having a good time. It's so simple. It's so easy. Some come dressed up. Some come in their leggings. And some are even nursing on the way. But they do get out of the house and they do get together. And that's what now we are seeing. We group the moms together in around their babies' ages. So babies that are born between January and March 2024, their moms are in one group. Babies that are born between April and June of 2024, their moms are in another group. So they really have that bond and those topics that they share with each other. And that's what we see. The conversations are ever changing, ever evolving around the topics that challenge the most or make the most fun at the time. And I think just sharing some simple moments brings them all together. And we have this growing community now that is all about personal connection and personal events.
Yeah. So I also think you do feel more comfortable asking a question if you know the person personally, you know, and it does not have to be your best friend, but still, you know, maybe you met, Maria on a walk and you know the baby, you know, and then because we do have WhatsApp groups, like members only WhatsApp groups that supplement our community, but then you're also more comfortable asking a question in like this online format since you know the people personally. So even then, you know, if you're up at 2 a.m., but if you text something, you know, you kind of know your group who you're texting it to, and you're not sending it out to an anonymous Facebook group. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that you supplement it, have both, because I'm naturally a very kind of private, inward, introverted kind of person. And I would be up in the middle of the night reading Facebook groups that I never felt supported. Like I could post on a Facebook.
Yeah.
It was just way too public, way too for introverted me. So mm-hmm. Having that, like having a group, and it sounds like you start the groups when women are pregnant. So they start forming.
I mean, you don't have to, but you can. Yeah. Ideally, But it's actually the best, I think, if you start when you're still pregnant, because you start forming these connections early and you really go through this entire journey together, you know, like the preparation for birth and then giving birth and then directly after the birth. So it's, but yeah, you can definitely also join any group, you know, when you're already later on in the journey. But ideally, I think if you're still pregnant, that you get the most out of it.
That's amazing. That's so great. So what are some of the offerings that Mesh Moms, so tell us a little bit more about Mesh Moms, like what offerings do you offer? And
yeah, like Juliana said, we're really all about in-person connections. So we try and have 2 to 3 events per week. And then some are really like in-person, like a stroller walk or a coffee get together. But we do supplement them with some online classes. And they can either be more of a parenting focus, but really we try and focus on the moms. So, you know, we just had prenatal and like postpartum nutrition, you know, or we are doing sex after babies, you know, like what do you need to know? What else do we have in stock? I mean, it's a lot of,
we've just had a CPR course. That was an in-person class that was very well attended. And we will have a happy hour where 2 nutrition experts will talk about family nutrition, like how do you prepare meals that everyone will eat and all sorts of things like that. It's a broad range of topics that we cover. And that can be, like Martina said, in-person events, like the happy hours will be where somebody's actually on site, or just for easy use, virtual events where everyone can zoom in from the ease of their home and with the baby on the lap or the baby sleeping.
Oh, great. So there are opportunities for people, even if they're outside of Atlanta, or is it mainly, outside of Atlanta still join in virtually?
Yeah. So we have this real in-person community for the people that are in and around Atlanta. But then if you're outside, like even if you're in a different state, we offer either individual virtual classes or moms can purchase lesson passes, and that gives them access to all of our virtual events.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And then tell us about the mods too. You just started that up, or the smaller groups? Or what do they call it? Is it pods?
We call them postpartum pods. So it's a...
that's what it is. I'm like, it's pods.
Sorry. It's a 6-week long series. So it's for up to 8 moms and their babies. And it's really directly in that postpartum phase. So we have a postpartum doula that leads the class. And they meet weekly, and we have different experts that come in as well. So we have a, a sleep consultant come in. We have a actually mental health, like postpartum mental health, maternal, like maternal identity. All these topics will be covered by her. We had a lactation consultant. So really, like each week, you know, the doula is always there and she really leads this entire series. But then each week we have a different expert come in as well and talk on certain topics.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's so amazing. I love that you have so many different offerings. And I think, Juliana, you were telling me too that they're grouped into that 3-month kind of quarter birth date. Mm-hmm. Wise, but then cohort, right? But then they also have subgroupings where it's like if you're a mom of triplets or twins, or your mom over 40, mm-hmm. you know, or something like, okay, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. So what like offerings of like hope or like advice would you give to new moms who are just in the thick of it right now and are like, this is not going to get better. What is going on? Are there any words of encouragement, I guess, you could share?
I mean, I would say definitely it will get better, I think, right? but really try and get help too. I mean, there's, you know, also the stigma certainly about, mental health. I think it's getting better, luckily, but it's still out there. But there are so many moms struggling, and I feel you always think, oh, it won't be me. But then it might be you, you know, and it's okay. And just get help. And like what we said before, just get out of the house, try and make connections, and accept help. Juliana.
And I think just to add, I'm coming back to the point, accept yourself. That's the hardest part, but you are doing your best and you are good. And then everyone else will get better eventually.
Great. Yeah. And even I would say, even in the very early days, if you can't get out and take a walk around the block, because physically you're healing and you don't feel up to that, just stepping outside, literally on the back deck. And even if it's the dead of winter, bundle the baby up or take a step outside without the baby. But I remember just fresh air helps everything, all the sensory input for the baby and just how much it really helps our physiology to be outside. It helps our fascia, we're learning more about. Like, so I totally echo what you said, Martina. And even if it can't be a walk around the block or a coffee date or something in those early days, just even stepping outside and getting some natural sunlight on your skin, I think really helps our body, our physiology, our mental state too.
Yeah.
And I would like to just add a little success story from from our latest postpartum pod. Like Martina said, it's a small group, up to 8 moms. And one of the moms wasn't comfortable enough to get out of the house by herself, but she still wanted to participate in the pod. So her husband was driving her every time. And she actually did ask for help from her husband, which I thought was great. But then being in the pod and being together with other moms in that same phase, seeing that they can do it, she slowly started to actually get out of her house and just walk around the block with her baby. And then in our WhatsApp group, she shared that. And I thought, like, to me, that was so heartwarming just to see that it is helping so much to have this small connection and in-person relationships, that I just love to share that.
Great. Amazing. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that, because there's definitely times where you're a new mom and it seems so daunting and you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. And being in the community and having others around you, not only to encourage you and support you, but to kind of model and say, yeah, you got this. We can do, and give you like the motivation to try.
Well, what it does do, and you think, oh, they're joining the pod to learn more, but really that community, that time with the other moms is really building her confidence in herself as a mom. Right. And giving her that confidence to take the next step and to step into that parenthood role and just building her confidence. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Great.
That's so great. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah.
Any other questions that you?
Yeah. Is there any other things that we didn't touch on about Mesh Moms? Any details, like how do people join? How do people find you? But are there any other topics or things that we didn't cover that you'd like to bring up or talk about?
Well, the best way to find us is on our website, meshmoms.com. We're also on Instagram, meshmoms. I think it was just great, you know, talking to you. I hope, you know, everyone, even if you don't join Mesh Moms, you know, I just really encourage every mom to get out there, look what's in your community. You know, there are some small groups, you know, even if it's nothing as large as ours, you know, just join postpartum yoga or something and meet other moms, really. I think that would be my really word of advice.
That's great.
Absolutely. Or just join one of our events and try out what it's like online or in person. We'd love to meet them.
That's great. And I do have one other question. Are you guys going to expand into other cities? Do you have any? I know, Martina, are you out west now? Are you? Yeah. Do you guys have any plans of taking this outside of Atlanta?
Yes, actually, we do. So we're really looking into Nashville right now. So I think this will be our next city. And then hopefully Greenville. I think that's probably what we have right now, Nashville, Greenville.
So listeners, if you're in those cities, look out for this or contact them if you would like to be involved or help them build this up. I think this would be a great resource.
Yeah, and check back often in case it's available in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing. And just this topic is so important, and it's really I hope that this conversation helps moms and helps people feel not alone and realize, oh yeah, and there's something they can do to get help. And so we really appreciate you taking the time and joining us today.
And for creating Mesh Moms. That's really a wonderful service that you're providing.
Thank you, Amanda and Rebecca, for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Take care.
Bye.
This content is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. Please discuss any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition with your physician or a qualified healthcare professional. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests.